Hi, friends. This is Angie.
Becca.
Heather.
Bonnie.
Your host of the Seasons Ministry podcast. And we welcome you to join us once again back in those two verses in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. My Bible in front of me is, that's an ESV. I do want to also, as we focus in on that last piece of verse 6, He will make your path straight. I always like to look to multiple different versions of Scripture, and the KJV says, He shall direct thy paths. And looking at the original language, it's this path of life, this journey that we're on, but it's about our conduct and how it becomes a way of living that aligns with this wisdom that He's instilling in us.
I think, and He will, let me read it, okay, in the other way. And He will make your path straight, and He will direct your paths. I think what appeals to me in the He shall direct your path is I don't have to do it. It sounds easier to me. And I don't know that it's easier. And I think they're both saying the same thing. But I like it when it says, and He will direct your path. Because to me it feels like handwriting on the wall. No questions, no doubt. Just this is what He says to do. And this is what is going to happen. It's not always that clear. But sometimes it is. And eventually, I think we come into understanding what God's plan is in certain situations. At the end of our last session, Bonnie dropped this bomb on us about submission. She said to cultivate a lifestyle of trust, humility, and submission. And trust we've been talking about. We haven't talked a lot about humility this time. I think we've talked about it in earlier sessions. About pride, versus humility. But we really haven't talked about submission. And I think it's a word that gets used sometimes to bully people. And especially women, I feel like a lot of times that word submission is thrown out as a way to control you. And so when you hear that word, it sort of pricks your skin a little bit, you know, and you feel uncomfortable with it. But I want to share a couple scriptures about Jesus submitting that in our women's group at my church on Wednesday night, we've actually talked about them a few times. Our church is studying the book of Luke right now. And one day when Luke chapter 2 was being preached, not about Christmas, not that part, but this one little chunk of scripture that we have about when Jesus was a boy. And so Jesus and his family had gone to Jerusalem for Passover, and then he ended up staying behind to hang out at the temple with the other church dudes and talk about God. And his parents were so upset. It says in 48, and when his parents saw him, so after 3 days, they didn't know he stayed. And after 3 days of searching for him, they found him. So in 2:48 in Luke, it says, and when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I would be at my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And here's the key. Verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all this up in her heart. And here's the point. The point isn't that Jesus was doing something wrong.
Right.
Well, we believe he was sinless, right?
Right.
But the point is, he did something they weren't expecting, and then they requested or required of him obedience and submission to their rules, and he gave it to them. And so to me, that was sort of a groundbreaking idea of Jesus submitting to his parents on earth. Because when you read in Matthew 26, and I think all the other Gospels mention it too, verses 39 through 34, we see Jesus wrestling with God, his Father, and submission to God's will. Not your will, but mine be done. And he says that three different times. But this is an example of Jesus submitting to his earthly parents. And so I think if Jesus will submit to his earthly parents by not staying at the church and talking about God and go back to living his regular old life where he is a boy and he's helping his dad in the shop and he's, you know, doing chores around the house and taking care of his siblings and all that stuff, then who are we? So when you said, Bonnie, cultivate a lifestyle of trust, humility, and submission, and how when we acknowledge him in all of our ways and we submit to him. Sometimes we submit to him and acknowledge him when it doesn't make sense to us to do that. When we think different or we think we know better, but still we submit to him. Okay, Heather, what do you have to say?
I was thinking about Luke because our church is in Luke. And I was thinking yesterday, and where was Pastor Luke? He was in what, Luke 9?
Yeah, 9.
And do you remember the verses that he was in yesterday? I was trying to look. But it talks about taking the cross daily, picking up your
23.
Cross. 23. It's 9:23. Okay. And he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And that is submission. And he spoke this before he took up the cross. Yeah. He knew what was coming. And he's saying, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily. And that looks different for each and every one of us. It's a submission where we have to take on the hard things and turn away from the easy things sometimes. And that's really hard because we all, even as believers, we want an easy life. Right? We don't want to do the hard stuff. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, but I don't like doing the hard stuff. But he said, take up your cross daily. You have to take the hard things. And this is just being in total submission of his will, his sovereignty, his path, his direction for you in this life.
Mm-hmm. Because he knows better.
He knows way better than we do.
He's making the path straight.
Yes, and I think it's even having the discussion on the path straight does not mean easy street.
No.
The road is narrow, and it's a long road of obedience. And so it requires that humility, submission, sacrifice, trust, because we don't know where it's leading. But let's not equate a straight path to be an easy path, because right. It definitely was not an easy path for Christ.
Right, and I think in making our path straight, there are times when God will remove obstacles and barriers that hinder our progress in our walk with him, but that doesn't mean that there won't be hardships. Right. You know, he may remove some obstacles, but I think scripture teaches this life is going to be difficult. In this world, you will have trouble, you know, and just stepping out in faith and trusting him and allowing him to direct our path sometimes just simply involves a leap of faith. And I think of Daniel, you know, he was taken from his home to a foreign land and yet he clung to his faith and he trusted in God. And we know his story and we know the outcome. He became successful, not because of himself, but because he trusted in his God.
Mm-hmm. Back in Luke 2, there's one more verse in chapter 2 where it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom. And right. I always just think that's... It's just something to really think about. But when we think about these wisdom, I mean, Bonnie, when you were speaking, it made me think, like, remember what type of literature we're reading from. These aren't promises. This isn't, like, do this and this will happen, because again, his ways are beyond our way of thinking. And that is also why we have the book of Job, to show an example of Job was very much surrendered to God, and he absolutely lost everything and had to continually cling to him in the midst of such utter loss and despair. But this make your path straight, or trust and surrender to God to direct your paths, that's all of this language altogether. You know, take up your cross. It's aligning our lives under God's will. And I think that is the path, however you want to term it, like shall direct thy path or make thy path straight. It's walking out God's will for my life. And that's a continual. And I only brought up that and Jesus increased in wisdom because it's a continual over and over daily thing. And we can't understand it, and we can't get the map and know where we're headed in 2 years, because then we would take off and leave him right back at the starting point.
So. Yeah, and so I think Daniel and Job were in these big situations, and they demonstrate faith and trust that we want to imitate, just like Paul invites us to imitate other believers. But I think that the faith and trust that they demonstrated in those terribly difficult moments were a reflection of knowing him. And I think it comes back, like, and I'm sure we've talked about this already, but we only can trust someone we know. Daniel trusted God because he knew him. They literally had to change the law to make it illegal to pray in order to get Daniel into the lion's den because he refused to stop praying. How could you, in that situation, turn your back on God at that point, because being with him had gotten you all the way to there? And, you know, we know the rest of the story, and it continued to take him. Job is the same way. He was going through so many devastating things, but yet he knew God. And when there were questions, God didn't say, it's going to be okay and blah, blah, blah. God's like, do you know
who? Acknowledge me.
Yeah. Do you know yes. all of these things that I know? Do you know that I have the room where I keep all the snow in heaven?
Tells the water where to stop, and yeah, acknowledge who I am.
Acknowledge yeah. who I am, and God does the same thing to Habakkuk.
In a tender way. I don't want it to sound like, I don't know how Job received it, but I see it like, just remember me. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's
hard. I feel like it's bold.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's bold. And then I think that when we come to God with fear and shakiness, which is the posture that Habakkuk had, and then God responds with boldness and confidence. Even when Moses, God called him to go to Egypt, and, you know, he had left Egypt and he was getting pretty comfortable and happy out there in the wilderness. And God calls him back and he's like, well, I stutter and I don't want to do that. And I just came from there and I killed someone. And God's like, hey, do you know me? Do you remember me? I am. Yes, I am. And then he gets that pep talk from God. And I think that's what we need when he's setting our path straight. Bonnie, you were talking about God requiring a leap of faith. And I think that all of those situations and a lot of the ones that we face every day require a leap of faith. But we can confidently step into it because we trust God, because we know him. Mm-hmm. We know who he is. My sheep know my voice.
That's true. And in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says that our lives are not our own, because we were bought for a price. And it was a terrible price that he had to pay. And sometimes we define success in the Christian life by worldly standards instead of godly standards. And we define a path that is straight by worldly standards instead of godly standards. If you were on the outside during the time that Christ was on earth, you would not think he was successful. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you would not think he was successful at all.
That path was definitely not in their playbook.
It was not in the playbook. The disciples were, like, shocked by everything. And he did not look successful. He was poor. Mm-hmm. He was ridiculed. He was rejected by men. He was crucified. Mm-hmm. And so the straight path doesn't always look straight. And we only get one path in this life. It's one path, one race. And if we are daily communing with Christ, acknowledging him, living in him, he's got our hand. And whether we're in the valley or we're on the mountain, he's there. And our path will never look straight to the world, but it is straight by our God.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And I just have a few scriptures from Psalm that I think are reassuring that God is in control. And here's one from Proverbs 16:9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We may think we know where we're headed and what we're going to do and what choice we're going to make, but it is God, you know, who determines that next step for us, really. Psalm 37, 23 and 24, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. You made reference to that, Heather, you know. but I trust, Psalm 31, 14 and 15, but I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Proverbs 20:24, the Lord directs our steps. So why should we try to understand everything along the way? Yeah. Trust him. Trust him to direct us.
Yeah, I definitely love the Psalms because it's pouring their heart with the struggle of it that always leads them back to acknowledging him. I mean, he's not afraid of us to bring our own misunderstanding, our own doubts, our own questions to him so that he can redirect us to look. And that's when I was preparing for this session, he just kept taking me back to Psalm 119, you know, where it says, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And this is a gift. This is our greatest tool in knowing him. I mean, when I think back to Moses that you referred to earlier, yes, he started out in that burning bush of, whoa, like, who is this? Like, what is happening? And he wrestled with, you want me to do what? And, you know, God saying, but I am going with you. And he even, in his grace, allowed him to drag Aaron in because he still kept wrestling. But along the way, as he's growing in this relationship and growing and knowing God through spending time with him, and Moses was such a conduit of what God says for us to do that is still so important. And spend some time in Psalm 119 because it will tell you how important God's law, his word is for us to fall in that path of God's will. But Moses, you know, it only makes sense then when they're journeying out in the wilderness and they just start grumbling again because they want to go back to what they knew, even though what they knew was slavery. And God says, that's it, just I'm done with them. When they're like, he's up there giving them the Ten Commandments, and that's when they're creating the golden calf. And Moses, because he has spent so much time with God, knows his will, and he actually goes to bat for these people and say, you don't want to destroy them. That's not the path you have us on. And it's such a shift, but that's what a lifetime of learning to trust and learning to know God. Like, no, God, I know you're patient, you're long-suffering, you're kind, you're loving, and you are not finished yet.
It's It's so funny that you said that because I just turned to Exodus 14.
Did you really? I was flipping and then I was wanting to listen to what. That's awesome.
And then you started that and then that sent me to Acts. So, yeah, in Exodus 14,
yeah,
where they are just getting pressed against the Red Sea. So mm-hmm. they have finally left Egypt with a whole bunch of stuff. They literally plundered the country of Egypt because of all the things that God made happen. And he sent them out into the wilderness with a whole bunch of stuff that didn't belong to them the day they started praying for, to get out of Egypt. Freedom. Yeah. Anyway, and then here they are in Exodus 14, starting in chapter 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. They feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, I mean, there is no better story that describes human nature. Verse 11, they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians, for we're better off to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses replies in verse 13, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. I mean, what a crazy situation. Because right after this, the Red Sea opens. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good example of how we see scenarios and we play them out in our heads and think, this is my salvation. This is my way out. This is my rescue. And God's like, I have something completely different planned. Watch this. Like, you know, get ready. It's coming. And then that made me think in Acts chapter 16, along the same lines of, and he will direct your path. So here is Paul and his good friend Timothy, and they are trying to figure out what routes to take, where to go next. And it says in verse 6 that they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, mm-hmm. having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they'd come to, I don't know, Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of God did not allow them. Yeah. See, we don't know how to pronounce these places because that was all the time that it was said. passing by, they went to Tros. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. The man of Macedonia was standing there, urging them, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So that was 6 through 10, Acts 16. So here's a good example of Paul, who is in relationship with God, made plans to go to two other places at least. And God's like, nope, not there.
Yep.
I'm forbidding you to go to that one. Nope, you can't go to that one either. Guess what? You're not listening to me, so you're going to go to sleep. And I'm going to come to you in a vision and call you to a Macedonian.
Amen to that. He tells me that sometimes, too. Stop making this harder than it is. Just go to sleep.
Right.
Yeah, just take a nap.
And the look rest, to me in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Just
that's back to we make our plans, but God directs our steps.
God directs our steps. And he did it in Exodus, and he did it in Acts, and he did it all the way to the end and continues to do it today. But it's our nature to think we know what should happen. And then we build expectations on what we think should happen. Just like the Egyptians thought, or the Egyptians, the Hebrews thought, oh, he's going to free us. We're going to live happily ever after, you know. But God then led them to a mountain, an army, and a sea and said, watch me show you what I can do. And he started building faith. We're going to talk about that more in the next session. But God working through situations of difficulty to help us see how we can trust him, to help us see who he is, and then help us step forward in confidence, which was the one thing that Paul requested for himself. His prayer request in multiple books in the New Testament wasn't for get me out of prison, keep me safe, meet my physical needs, heal my body. It was always give me boldness so that I can speak your message. And so I think this was Paul's prayer, and I want that to be my prayer. If I can just step past the wanting to meet all my needs and make things easy for me, and allow myself to accept it's not easy. In this life, we will have struggle. You said just a minute ago, Bonnie, trust me and step into what I have for you with boldness and confidence.
And they traveled in circles, didn't they, the Israelites?
Well, I'm thinking, you know? Wonder what their path looked like on a map, because what should have taken 11 days took 40 years.
Yeah, all over the place. That was their straight path.
I don't know about you all, but 40 years is somewhat close to the journey I've been on so far. It hasn't been straight.
It hasn't been straight. And I was thinking about, like, if we could look back, because I'm middle-aged, so if we can look back and see where we're at today and all the twists, the turns, the bumps, it's one path. Did we ever think that we would be where we're at today? I never envisioned where I'm at today for my life, ever. And that shows that he is directing our steps. He is directing our path. We've got to hold on to him, and he will guide us. And I love the life that the Lord has given me and where he has me. It's been hard. It hasn't been easy. But I wouldn't take away where I'm at with him, because that straight path is alongside him. He's before us, and he leads us to him more and more for those who diligently seek him. And it's one race, one path, and his way will always be straight, no matter if it's left, right, up, down. And sometimes when we're in the valleys, we so long for the mountain. Mm-hmm. But when I'm on the mountain, I seem to forget who's above me. Mm-hmm. And it's in the valley where I see him the most. And my prayer is, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a race. It's a path. And I want to keep my faith, no matter what that straight path looks like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Wow. Where to go after that? I just, this part of making our path straight, I think that's God aligning our thoughts and our intentions and our actions with his own. It's just like, you know, how do you follow someone you don't know? And that's the importance of knowing God. Mm-hmm. And in getting to know God, we learn his heart. And, you know, we could sit here for several sessions and just talk about the characteristics of God, which revealed his heart, and his heart is for us and for us to know him and to allow him to direct our steps, you know. And there's no better life than knowing that you are at least attempting to follow where God leads and doing what you believe God is asking you to do. You know, there's just nothing better in life than being, just having a glimpse of that or a touch of that sometimes.
As y'all were talking and just thinking about where he's leading us, he very clearly gives all of us the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, and his promise is to always be with us. And that's one of the reasons we do this. We have conversations in hopes that you will also see, well, I can have a conversation, because this is how I grow in knowing him. I grow in knowing him by opening up his word on my own, but then to also see it through the perspective of other daughters in Christ that he's created and come alongside of me and point me back to him. And in community has always been his design. I mean, we have the Trinity, and then he created us in his image and invited us into relationship with him And that helps me to remember that my valley is just my valley, but it's a valley in a whole big world. And it helps to know that people have journeyed before. Like, these were real people in the Bible that had the same struggles that we did. And thank goodness we have a Bonnie, like Timothy had a Paul. And that, I mean, that's our hope, is, and that's the Great Commission. Like, we want to pass the baton on to people that God has placed directly in our path. Our path, not Bonnie's path. There's people that he's placed in my path that are different than the people that he's placed in Becca's path, to that he still wants them to know him. And what greater gift. And yes, it can be messy, and yes, it is hard. There are some days that it is so hard. But I always go, like, where else would I go? And I'm so thankful that he just keeps inviting me to know him more.
I think that's a good place to stop. Let's pray.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you do direct our paths. If only we will open our hearts and simply look to you and allow you to lead us. Thank you, Father, for directing our paths. Thank you for just creating, Lord, the plan of salvation for us. And we know that Jesus set the example and follow. Father, he lived a perfect life, which we cannot live. But, Father, each day, if we allow you to direct our paths, we can become more like him because of your Spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for just this time of looking into your word and discussing how it speaks to us. In Jesus' name.